the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, the Lamb, the 144,000, Doom and the Harvest, episode 16. These episodes are meant to not only ask and answer the questions, when, why, how, and what, but also the question, what does this mean to me? Chapter 13 gave us a look at the two beasts, one from the sea and one from the earth, making their move to have rule and dominion over the world. Although portrayed as metaphorical beasts, it is an apt description for the real nature and character of these men, and they are real and horribly authentic, so fantastic. Frightening and convincing is their appearance, their powerful acts and behaviors, and their influence that the saints, God's people, are overcome, and the beast will have the authority and power over every tribe and people and language and nation. All the inhabitants of the earth will fall down and worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written since the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain as a willing sacrifice, see Revelation 13, verses 7 and 8. The grip and rule and dominion of this beast becomes so absolute that he compels all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, signifying allegiance and obedience to this beast, so that no one will be able to buy or sell, unless they have the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name, which is 666. Important note, the Bible gives us two specific verses, spoken by Jesus, which gives us a mystery. Whatever is to be bound on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever is loosed on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. See Matthew 16, verse 19, and Matthew 18, verse 18. The meaning behind these verses come from a Chaldean and rabbinical idiom, meaning to forbid, prohibit, declare to be illicit, to be put under obligation, chained, imprisoned. Secondly, this mystery is best understood, i.e., revealed, when viewed in the context of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, which says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal," and again in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the certainty of things confidently expected, hoped for, the proof positive, and the absolute conviction of things not yet seen. Third, it is of the utmost importance to recognize that this binding and loosing cannot be random nor serendipitous. In order to understand this mystery, we must first acknowledge that everything that is to take place or that has taken place is and has been predetermined by God even before the foundations of the world. John 1 verse 3 confirms that all things came into being through him, and apart from him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Therefore, whatever is bound on earth is an authority given by God to his elect in these cases, Peter and the church, to pray, confirm, and bind matters on earth, which then become bound by legal, spiritual, and heavenly edict. As a result, those things which are not yet seen on earth, having been bound in heaven, will now be manifested upon the earth. This is important to understand and to know because the things revealed in the book of the Revelation, the Apocalypse, have been bound in heaven and are to be manifested on earth. All of the Revelation, although spoken and written in images, metaphors, similes, analogies, its manifestation is to be physically literal. Don't underestimate what is coming. Don't be led astray by the unenlightened or false prophets who will say otherwise. Beware and be ready. Now, on to chapter 14, where we will see God's heavenly counteroffensive, and in fact, the entire world will see the might, the irresistible power, and the glory of our God. Nothing and no one can stand before him. Read with me. The Lamb and the 144,000 on Mount Zion. Revelation 14:1, "Then I looked, and this is what I saw. The Lamb stood firmly established on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name inscribed on their foreheads, signifying God's own possession." Verse 2, "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of great waters and like the rumbling of mighty thunder. And the voice that I heard seemed like music and was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps." Verse 3, "And they sang a new song before the throne of God and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased, ransomed, redeemed from the earth." Verse 4, "These are the ones who have not been defiled by relations with women, for they are celibate. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased and redeemed from among men of Israel as the first fruits sanctified and set apart for special service for God and the Lamb." Verse 5, "No lie was found in their mouth, for they are blameless, spotless, untainted, beyond reproach. Commentary break. These verses speak for themselves, but I would like to draw our attention to the contrast between the counterfeiting by the beasts of the one true God. Similar but opposite. One works miracles, but is domineering, murderous, evil, dark, and frightening. This is the way of Satan and his false prophet. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. The other is miraculous and radiant, filled with light, angelic, harmonious, and full of beautiful music, blameless, spotless, untainted, and beyond reproach. Jesus came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. See John 10, verse 10, end commentary break. The angel with the gospel. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, with an eternal gospel to preach to the inhabitants of the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God with awe and reverence, and give him glory and honor and praise and worship, because the hour of his judgment has come. With all your heart worship him who created the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. Commentary break. Here we have an angel preaching the gospel to all the inhabitants of earth, every nation and tribe and language and people. Remember that the sixth tribulation trumpet has sounded, and now the seventh tribulation trumpet is being sounded as these events are taking place. The sixth trumpet sounded the last call to the inhabitants of earth for salvation. Now, with the seventh trumpet sounding, the end of God's remaining mercies has come. No one else is to be saved from the wrath of the Lamb. End commentary break. Doom for proud Babylon. Verse 8. Then another angel, a second one, followed, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her immorality, corrupting them with idolatry. Doom for worshippers of the beast. Verse 9. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, Whoever worships the beast and his image and receives the mark of the beast on his forehead or on his hand. Verse 10. He too will have to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, mixed undiluted into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone flaming sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb Christ. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Verse 12. Here is encouragement for the steadfast endurance of the saints, God's people, those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. Verse 13. Then I heard the distinct words of a voice from heaven, saying, Right, blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, so that they may rest and have relief from their labors, for their deeds do follow them. Commentary break. The edict is read. The end has come. Those who bear the image of the beast are sentenced, and to those who habitually keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus may rest and have relief from their labors. They are taken away to abide forever with the Lord. It is over. The reapers. Verse 14. Again I looked, and this is what I saw, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle of swift judgment in his hand. Verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who was sitting upon the cloud, Put in your sickle and reap at once, for the hour to reap in judgment has arrived, because the earth's harvest is fully ripened. Verse 16. So he who was sitting on the cloud cast his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped and judged. Verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple sanctuary in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Verse 18. And another angel came from the altar, the one who has power over fire, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Put in your sharp sickle and reap the clusters of grapes from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe for judgment. Verse 19. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and harvested the grapevine of the earth, and threw the grapes into the great winepress of the wrath and indignation of God as judgment of the rebellious world. Verse 20. And the grapes in the winepress were trampled and crushed outside the city, and blood poured from the winepress, reaching up to the horses' bridles, for a distance of 1,600 stadia. Commentary break. It is important to know that this reaping is for both the harvest of souls for righteousness of those who were not raptured with the church at the sixth seal judgment, which comes before the final 7 years of the great tribulation. This is the great winepress of the wrath and indignation of God and his judgment on the rebellious world. The severity of this judgment and of the remaining judgments yet to come is illustrated by the winepress and the volumes of flowing blood. It is deep as a horse's bridle is high, about 5 or 6 feet deep, and 1,600 stadia, which is about 180 miles in length, a lake of blood 6 feet deep and 180 miles long. If one would conjecture the width of an ancient wine press at 10 feet, then the volume of blood being squeezed from God's wine press would be 355 million gallons of blood. The average body contains 1.3 gallons of blood, so this would be equal to the blood of 274 million people, perhaps the number of people to be slaughtered from God's judgments as well as from the Battle of Armageddon. This description, of course, implies the terrific nature of the punishment, probably nothing more. In the same way, the distance mentioned is no doubt intended to denote the extensive nature of the punishment. End commentary break. Next, in chapter 15, the scene is set for the pouring out of the final seven bowl judgments. Seven angels who have seven plagues will be the last of the judgments, because in them the wrath of God is finished. Dear friends and loved ones, please, let's think and meditate on these things, and pray that God gives us his wisdom and the courage to stand ready at all times, staying ready to make a defense to everyone who asks, and to give an account for the hope which is Christ Jesus, who is in you. Your brother and friend, Mike Young. Previous, the Book of the Revelation, chapter 13, The Beast from the Sea, The Beast from the Earth, episode 15. Next, coming soon, the Book of the Revelation, chapter 15, A Scene of Heaven, episode 17. Please bookmark this page or subscribe for future episodes.